Good morning, church. Hey, oh, man. Beautiful. Pick up your check after church. All right. Thank you guys for being here today. I am Pastor Doug, one of the pastors, one of the teaching pastors here at Faith Fellowship. Glad that you're with us this morning. Anybody want to shout out who wrote that song and who sang it? Yeah, very good. Riders on the storm, into this house we're born. Into this world we're thrown. Huh, feels like it. Like a dog without a bone. That's just sad. Or an actor out on loan. No clue. It's all right. But they're riders on the storm. So we have a choice. And as we've been talking about and learning about paper tigers, things that on paper look scary, but in real life or in actuality, they're nothing but paper offenses, paper, just things on paper or things that you know that are not going to overtake you, but things that just scared you, put your mindset into a place of fear when it didn't really even need to be, a paper tiger. So storms of life are going to come. But when the storm comes, what holds you? What keeps you safe in a storm? Life has a way of bringing storms, huh? Sometimes they arrive suddenly. Sometimes they build slowly. Sometimes a storm is a financial challenge. Sometimes it's a family situation. Sometimes it's a health battle. Sometimes it's a season when you're praying, believing, and trusting God, but you can't yet see the answer. Every one of us face storms. Or if you haven't yet, you will. The question is not, will storms come? The question is, what will hold us when they do come? Do we get overtaken? Or do we ride it like a surfboard, baby? Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 27, it says this: anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it wise, like a person who builds a house on the solid rock. Though the rains come in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against the house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching or listens to my teaching and follows it wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. And when it rains, the floods come, the winds beat against that house, and it will collapse with a mighty crash. So Jesus compares our lives being built on a foundation of sorts, our choice, our decision. Jesus didn't tell us that storms would not come. He told us how to survive them. He said, the person who hears his word and puts it into practice is like a wise person who built his house on a rock. Built his house on a rock. The storms came. The rain fell. The floods rose. The winds blew. But the house remained standing. Why? Because the foundation was stronger than the storm. The foundation was stronger than the storm. God is stronger, bigger, greater than the problem. Every time. There's no doubt about it. Whatever problem you and I face in this world, the God that we serve is bigger and better than them. But the house remained standing because the foundation was strong. There's a powerful truth here. A strong foundation does not prevent storms. It gives you strength to stand through those storms. That's what a solid, strong foundation does. The world around us is constantly changing. Opinions change. Economics change. Circumstances change. People change. But God's word does not change, ever. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8, it says this, that the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of God stands forever. The word. If there's anything to get out of this series, folks, it is this. That, yeah, storms come, and sometimes they look greater than they really are. It's like driving here from where I live out around Warden area. We had a massive rain last night. And I left Warden, and Warden, to some of you, like to me, before I moved out there, I'd never been to Warden until I looked at the house to buy it. And it's like, you know, you feel like you're in the middle of nowhere, and then as we're driving through, get on 140 and coming towards Bethalto, everything's dry. And it's like, y'all didn't have the storm here, but I had it out there for some reason. I don't know. It's okay. I'm not a meteorologist. My grandkids ask us all the time, when's it going to stop raining? And Jeannie's response is, do I look like a weatherman? Do I look like a meteorologist? I'm like, what? No, we don't know. Even though some of us face storms and some of us don't, we do know that the vice versa happens. And no matter where we may go, if you're in a storm, the telecast will tell you, well, there's this chance of rain or this chance of a tornado or a warning or a watch and all this stuff. And it's like, do we hide in fear, heed the warning, hide in fear, or do we say, okay, look, I'm going to check it out myself. I'm going to stand on what I can see with my eyes and understand, and then I'm going to be okay. Or do we go by just simple fear that we hear that it's raining in Kansas City, and then we take shelter before we even see a raindrop? And that's how our response is, depends on what our knowledge of what truth is. Everything around us may move, but God's word remains. What you need to get out of this series is the word of God is the most important thing that we could ever learn, know, or speak. It's the word, the word, the word. It'll save your life, or the devil will eat your lunch and pop the bag. Everything around us may shake, but God's promises remain. Everything around us may become uncertain, but God remains faithful. That's why in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, it says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. An anchor doesn't stop the storm. It doesn't stop the waves from coming. An anchor does not stop the wind from blowing. An anchor doesn't remove the storm, right? What does it do? An anchor keeps the ship from drifting away. And God's word is an anchor for our souls, our mind, our will, and emotions. That's what your soul is, your mind, will, and emotions. So how do we stay anchored when life storms come, hit us hard, run over us? There are three things we got to learn. First of all, receive the word. Or in other words, accept the word. Or in other words, know the word. Get into the word. Treasure God's word as the greatest gift you'll ever have. Before we stand on the word, we've got to first receive the word. A lot of people see the Bible simply as an old religious book. But the Bible's much more than a book. It's God speaking to his people. In the Greek, the word has two meanings. There's one that is logos. And the logos word is the written word of God. And then there's the rhema word, which is the spoken word. And as Christ followers, you and I need to operate in both of these aspects of who the word is. Jesus is the Word. Remember in John chapter 1 it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is the Word, but there's also the Logos Word, the Word that is written, that is strong. But without just utilizing the Logos Word, the written Word, seeing the written Word, thinking that it's just, well, a book, it doesn't come forth as power until you pair it with what God says to you by the Spirit and your revelation knowledge of the word, which becomes the rhema word, the spoken word, when the Holy Spirit speaks the word of God to you in your spirit and you speak it out as truth. When the world says you can't make it, and you're going to go broke, and you're not going to have any success, the word of God that is in you comes out by God's power in you as a Christ follower, that rhema word, that my God shall supply all of my need according to his riches and glory in Christ. I am more than a conqueror through Christ who gives me that strength. That's the rhema word. That's the written word. But when you have that as revelation knowledge and you speak it, it becomes power. It becomes a weapon that the enemy cannot stand against. It's a direction for our journey. It's wisdom for our decisions. It's strength for our weaknesses. It's hope for our discouragement. The word, the word, the word. James chapter 1 verse 17 says this, every good and perfect gift comes from God, who does not change. Thank God. And he chooses to give us new life through his word. He chose to give us new life through his word. The word of God brings life. It's not just a directive. It's not just a manual. The word of God is life. It is living. It is who God is. I've had people ask me through the years, I want to know God's will, Pastor Doug. What's God's will for my life? Help me find God's will. What's God's will? And my response is just simply the word. If you want to know what God's will is for your life, it's in the word. It's the Bible. It's the word. If you want to know what God's will is, it's the word. He doesn't say one thing and do another. He doesn't say one thing and give you abilities for something else. He says in his word what his will is for you. And the word of God tells us all those successful things that God has provided for us by the finished work of the cross of Christ. It's good news, man. Nearly too good to be true, good news. Notice how James describes God's word. He says it's a gift. And not just any gift. It's a good gift. It's a perfect gift. It's a life-giving gift. The greatest gift in life are not always the most expensive. Hate to tell you that. Sorry. Sometimes the greatest gifts are the ones that change our lives. It's like when we were moving and going through old boxes, and I found old birthday cards and Christmas cards from my mom, from my grandparents. And I, you know, I saved them all these years. My mom's transferred to heaven years ago. But it's like reading those, it just brought back those memories. It brought back the solid thoughts of how I was raised and the things that my mom would tell me and the things that my grandparents taught me. And I love that. I'm a dude, okay, I get it. I saved love letters from my wife. How about that? Yeah. Yeah. See, the ladies clap. The guys are like, you dummy. You make me look bad. Like, thanks a lot, Doug. Found them. Had them. She saved mine, too. That blows me away. And I read some of my stuff I wrote to her, and I thought, oh, man, was I so brain damaged at 19. Amazing to me. But those are letters. Those are things, those words that just mean something, right? You know what I'm talking about. You've found old letters from your grandparents or your parents or your husband or wives that maybe have transferred to heaven, whatever. Or from your kids, little, you know, cards for Father's Day, Mother's Day. You're like, oh, this is awesome. This is so cool. And receiving a handwritten letter from a parent who's passed away or gone on, whatever, it's not because the paper that it's written on is so expensive and so rare, but because of the love and the meaning behind the words, right? It's not just the words. You know what's behind those words, where it came from. Same's true with Scripture. The power of the Word of God, the power of the Bible is not just in its pages. The power is in the God who gave it. The Word of God is living. It is, It brings peace. Look, it hasn't lasted this long for nothing. It hasn't just by accident made it through thousands of years, preserved supernaturally, found in caves and reinterpreted and brought to life when they find Dead Sea Scrolls and they find other matching parchments of the word that gives validation of historical events, but also confirms what we already know. You know, history and science, it catches up to what God has already done. We don't have to have science explain to us things. We can just get into the Word and see that it just kind of matches up, and science finally catches up with God. History or political science or the projection of what is to come in historical studies, it doesn't just come by knowledge. You can see by the Word of God the progression of human history and kind of figure out where we're headed. God's Word is living. It is life. It is peace. It gives you joy. It gives you hope. It gives you something to hold on to because the Word of God is eternal. It does not go away. It does not change. It is the truth. It's the only truth you know. It's the only truth you'll ever need. It's the truth. God's Word is good. Just like Him. If you look in Psalms chapter 119, it says this, that you are good and do only good. Teach me your decree or teach me your word. You're good, your word is good. We said this last week, and I got your response, right? God is good all the time, God is good, and it's the truth. But unless you believe it, you cannot practice that knowledge out in the real world. You have to be consistent. When storms come, when paper tigers rear up, to recognize no matter what the problem is, no matter what the storm is dictating to you here, that over somewhere else, it's not bothering someone. So therefore, you can live in the knowledge that this storm will pass. It will not overtake you. David wrote, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." He didn't say, build a condo and enjoy it. He says he walks through it. We go through these valleys. We don't stay there. God leads us through them. His word guarantees us by his word that we have perfect peace in the midst of trials and troubles. Everything God gives flows from his goodness. His instructions are not designated to restrict our lives. Okay? They are designed to protect our lives. Religion sets up do's and don'ts. Religion is not God. God has nothing to do with religion. Religion is a man-made thought process and theology of rules and regulations. Do's, don'ts, and that's how you prove you're good. And if you prove you're good, then God will do something for you. The truth of the word is God has already done for us everything we need him to do because he finished it by the work of Jesus on the cross, and all we've got to do is accept it as the gift he provided for us. It's good. A loving parent doesn't tell a child not to touch a hot stove because they want to limit their freedom. Right? I'm going to be a dictator and tell you, do not stick your head in an oven. No. They give that instruction because they love them. And paper tigers will pop up and try to scare you about something. And then you have to decide whether you're going to live in fear of that situation or you're going to say, it'll pass. I'm it's gonna fool you a little bit. This is gonna throw you. I'm a little different. I believe, you know, that some people have told me in the past, and this is cool. If you believe this, it's good, fine, whatever. We're not gonna argue about it. It's all good. We live together, it's cool. I believe that healthy fear. Don't mess around with healthy fear. It's like, well, you've got to have a fear of a bus. Because if you don't fear the bus, You'll walk out in front of a bus and it'll hit you and kill you. I say you don't need to be afraid of the bus, just don't be dumb and stand in front of one. That doesn't make you afraid. Fear doesn't give you an avenue of knowledge. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. And my sound mind says, that sucker's moving, I'll get in, not in front. Use your head that God gave you. Use the knowledge and the wisdom that God gave you. Don't be in fear over things that the enemy tries to throw at you, that it's just common knowledge spiritually that you have already overcome by the word of your testimony and the blood of the Lamb. God's commands are not barriers to our blessing. They are pathways to our blessing. God's word is perfect. Psalms 19:7 declares this. The instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. Remember, your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. That's where I come in. Yeah. All I know is when I have a question, I don't understand something, I pray in the Spirit. I get into my prayer closet and just say, God, here I am. Closet being just a term. Wherever I'm at is my prayer. In my car, at home, wherever I'm at. My office, it doesn't matter. If I'm facing something or someone asks me something, or asks me to pray about a situation or something like that, and I don't know how to pray, I just ask God, God, you know the situation. You know the avenue that this needs to go in. You know the abilities that you're able to do in these people's lives. You know exactly what they need, and I leave it to Him. Because God knows better than we do about how to fix stuff. All the time. People are searching everywhere for the truth. They look to culture. They look to human wisdom. They look to temporary solutions. But God's word remains perfect, like the word says, because God Himself is perfect. And as a Christ follower, Jesus lived and died a perfect life for us. So you and I don't have to try to do that. He did it for us. We just have to believe. That's all it takes to be born again. That's all it takes to be a Christ follower, is believing what Jesus already did for you. That's it. I believe. I receive. The word says that's all we need to do. God's word is unchanging. James chapter 1 verse 17 says, "Make whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. God changes not. He doesn't change, and His word is true, and every good and perfect gift, it says, comes from Him." You believe that? And if it's not good and it's not perfect, then don't take it. It's not yours to have. If you're a Christ follower, only accept the good and the perfect and thank Him for it. Even though the bad and the ugly, all right, are happening to you right now, you understand, and your prayer is, thank you, God, that you get me through this. We don't thank God for the problems. We thank Him in spite of them. No matter what happens, we know that He gets us through, because He's promised to do that. God does not change His mind about His promises. God does not wake up one morning and decide He's no longer faithful to you. God does not withdraw His love when life becomes difficult. He changes not. God does not change His mind about His promises. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, it says this, "Jesus Christ the same," say it with me, "yesterday and today and forever." What He did then, He's still doing now. What he's able to do in your life way back, he's still able to do now. What he delivered you from years ago, he's still able to do now. And the ability that you have as a Christ follower to pray for somebody who's going through the same situation you went through, it builds your faith up enough to say, you know, God brought me through. He's not a respecter of persons. And if he did it for me, he'll do it for you because he is good. That's the faith we have in him, not in yourself, not in a pastor, but in him. In him. Same Jesus who saved you is the Jesus who sustains you. Same Jesus who forgave you is the Jesus who strengthens you. The same Jesus who brought you through yesterday is the same Jesus who will carry you through today. He is the same. He'll never leave you or forsake you. That's why being a Christ follower, in the words of Jim Morrison of the Doors, it's groovy, man. God's word gives life. In John chapter 6, verse 63, it says this: the Spirit alone gives eternal life. The Spirit, capital S, the Spirit of God alone gives eternal life. This is important. Human effort accomplishes nothing. And the very words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. Guys, no matter what we try to do to earn God's favor, it doesn't accomplish a thing. Because as a human being, you already have favor with God. He loves you. If you were the only one that needed saving, he'd have come and saved you. He loves you that much. And there's nothing you and I can do to make God's love greater than what he's already provided for us if we just accept it. Our goodness, our abilities, our righteousness, Paul calls them filthy righteous rags. Our own abilities mean nothing, but it's simply us trusting God solely in every aspect of our life that brings miracles and peace of mind. If you need peace of mind, you need Jesus. God's word does more than give information. It gives transformation. It does not just tell you about life. Man, it gives you life. It is that life that is abundant. He gives us life and life, and that life more abundantly, the word says. If you're needing abundant life, if you're needing peace of mind that passes all understanding, if you're going through storms right now, or you have gone through storms and they're still rumbling at you from behind and coming at you, or if you're facing one head on, understand this. Jesus, still the same yesterday, today, and forever, he quieted a storm back then. He's still quieting storms today. In your life, in my life, he's good. And paper tigers, well, they always will raise up, rear up, give you something to think about, get your mind distracted on a bad report or something going on in your life. That's what the enemy does. The enemy tries to get you distracted, tries to get you off balance. But when you come to a place of knowledge, knowing that God holds your future, that there's no matter what's happening to us at that moment, tomorrow has already been promised to us by Christ, because in the spirit realm I'm talking about, he's already promised us life and that more abundantly. We go through storms. We don't stay in them. Even in the natural, you try to avoid them, right? You have umbrellas. It protects you from the storm you're in. No matter where we're at, we have that umbrella of protection in the spirit realm that we may be in the middle of the storm. Doesn't take us out of it, but in the middle of it, we have that protection. We have that peace of mind that passes all understanding. And that peace of mind is the peace of God that gives to you everything you need in your natural mind to calm you and depend upon the Spirit of God to remind your mind of the Word, that tells you, if you need healing, by his stripes you are healed. If you need prosperity, to know that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. When you have need of knowing that I need my things paid for, my bills, my loans, all that stuff, and my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ. When you have the word of God in you as revelation knowledge, and you trust in that, and you speak those out, the logos, the rhema of God, it'll change not only your life, but your situation and the lives of people around you. And they'll see you having peace in the middle of a storm and want a little bit of that. I want to be like that. And all your response will be is, God's good. God is good. Let's pray. Father, your word is the only truth there is. It's the only truth we know. And no matter where we're at in our life, no matter what storm comes upon us, your word is that anchor. It keeps us solid in place, not moving from the truth of your word, not drifting away from your promises. But we hold fast because your word, again, is the only truth we know. Thank you, God, that your word tells us today what we need, what we can expect, and what we can depend on. And all of those things are you and your love and your peace of mind. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So when Jesus gathered the disciples, Paul wrote about this in 1 Corinthians. Now, Paul wasn't there, but he says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, this is what Paul says. He says, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself." How did he receive that? By revelation knowledge. The Holy Spirit spoke to him. Jesus appeared to Paul and told him a lot of stuff. And Paul wrote these things down. And then he came to this place and said, I'll pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it." This morning, we want to celebrate the Lord's sacrifice for us. If you haven't received an element, let the ushers know that, and they'll take care of that for you right here, right now. And as we share this together, and I love that we do this together. We do it in different ways. Sometimes we come forward. Sometimes we have it passed to you. Sometimes we just do it this way. But when we are sharing together, we are coming together in a common knowledge that no matter what the storm of life is, no matter where we're at individually, it may be sunny where you're at, it may be raining on somebody in their life next to you. You don't know, we don't know, but God does. And Jesus said, "A new commandment I'm giving you on this day." He said, "The old law is finished. This is what's new." And it says that he took the bread and he broke it. And he declared that this bread represents my body that is broken for you. In other words, Jesus said, "My body's broken, so yours doesn't have to be. My body suffers, so you don't have to. These are the stripes of Jesus that we are healed in." And he said, "When you eat this, remember, this is my body. Remember, I took your beating." And then it says he took the cup and he said, this is the blood of the new covenant. This represents, this wine represents the new covenant. The old covenant was done by the blood of bulls and rams and birds and whatever, and that covered the sins of the people. Jesus said, this is a new and better covenant, and this is my blood. And the blood of Jesus doesn't cover sin. It erases it as if it never existed. That's what he did for us. And he said, when you drink this, remember, I did this for you because you could not do it for yourself. Father, we are grateful that today we celebrate in thanksgiving and in joy. Communion is a celebration of what you accomplished for us and an outward symbol of who you are in us. The body, the blood that separates us from sin, saves us and redeems us from our future and our past. You provided everything we need, past, present, and future, by your finished work of the cross. Thank you that this week we go forward and people see you, Jesus, not us. It'll be your words they hear, not ours. And we celebrate your redemption every day in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may stand and be blessed as you go, and remember the storm. You just went through it, and you're going through it in the name of Jesus.